And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to Hoops HD and our Thursday evening bracket rundown, where we live on the air right here, or live on tape delay tomorrow when you're watching this.
This is live on tape delay.
We build the seed list 1 through 68. We then bracket it up off the air. We'll have it posted on the website sometime late tonight, early tomorrow morning. Joining us once again, returning first of all, is Warren Nolan, the owner and publisher of warrennolan.com, one of the top college basketball ratings and score websites out there. Warren, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Great. It's great to have you back once again.
If Warren's power goes out, don't be alarmed.
Yeah, Warren had a little power problems tonight, we heard, but yeah. I think we're good to go, right?
Yep, L.A. blackouts. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Also joining us, of course, is the people's puppet over there, David Griggs. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. And what our plan is tonight, as we do every... apparently our plan is to drink some.
Just kidding. Okay. Now I'm doing even better than I was before.
What our plan is for tonight is to build live on the air here the 1 through 68 seed list, and we're going to go ahead and get right into it. Now, we are one short tonight. We thought that John was going to be joining us. He might jump in the middle, and we'll just add him in at that point. If not, John, where are you?
Yeah.
But... let's go ahead. I'm going to put the seed list right up here on my screen. We'll do a little magic here, maybe. Is it working? There we go. Okay. Yep. There it is, that blank seed list that we use. And we're going to start right at the top. We're going to talk about one seed, then we'll go all the way down to talk about 16 seeds and beyond. Warren, let me start over with you tonight. Who are your one seeds as of right now?
Okay, no movement at the top. Kentucky's still right there. Virginia, I kind of looked at Duke. That game was pretty ugly.
Yeah.
But I kept them as my third, and Villanova as my fourth.
Yeah. The only place we're different, I have Gonzaga number four, Nova number five. Again, Gonzaga, I think Villanova clearly has the better profile. They're kind of laying in the weeds. I'm a little surprised from like a lot of the mainstream media isn't hyping them more than they are, because I mean, especially with Wisconsin losing and Kansas having losses, it seems to me that Nova has a stronger profile and maybe even a better team than both those teams now, but I still have Gonzaga all the way up on top. I know this isn't a factor, but it should be. It balances things out to have a team in the West that's actually a one seed to send them to Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yeah, my Gonzaga's five for me. So I mean, yeah. It's right there.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's put in here Kentucky, Virginia, and Duke, who we have agreement 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And so the big question here is this Villanova versus Gonzaga. Amazingly, I heard. I don't know if it was Joe Lunardi or some other bracketologist saying, well, there's only two teams that are locked into the one line right now, and those are Kentucky and Gonzaga. And I was shocked by that comment because I don't get that.
Was it fake Joe Lunardi?
Maybe it was fake Joe Lunardi.
Yeah, he's been active tonight. I don't really... Gonzaga, they have the ranking. They're going to have the NABC support. I think the committee will put them up there. I know that that's not necessarily what we're concerning ourselves with. I will say, Villanova is really good. I mean, they are really good. They haven't been as good 100% of the time, but they've been really good about 98% of the time. They're really good.
Right.
And Gonzaga, you know, just got the win at St. Mary's, right? So that's a good add to the resume. I mean,
right. And they outscored them by about 20 points in the last 10 minutes of that game. I mean, Gonzaga is really good, too. I think it's going to be Gonzaga, but it could go either way. Essentially, we have 5 1-caliber seeds.
I mean, Villanova's problem is obviously they have a lot tougher road to get undefeated than Gonzaga does. They're at Xavier this weekend, but they've also got the Big East tournament. Gonzaga, be undefeated, has to beat, I think it's San Diego tonight at home, BYU over the weekend, and then three more games of the West Coast Conference tournament, where the only challenge they'll get is probably against the winner of St. Mary's, BYU in the title game. But so I think there's a chance Villanova does fall at some point, which will make things a lot easier. But for right now, when I look at the overall profiles, I have to do the same thing we did last week and stick with Villanova as the arbiter here and put Gonzaga down in the two line. Their profile is just better than Gonzaga's, and it's not. I don't think it's even close to.
Well, I keep bringing up they have the same number. They have more top 300 wins than Gonzaga does.
And yes, David, talk about numbers that will be in the room. The number of top 300 wins each team has will be in the committee room, but it will not be argued much.
Okay.
Let's take a look down at the two line, though. David, I'll start with you this time. I know you've got Villanova at the top of your two line, but who are your other three?
It's the same three teams I've been locked in on. We have the same eight, just the order's a little off, I think. I still have Kansas up here. Whiskey, despite the loss. Losing at Maryland isn't anything that drops you off the face of the earth. I think they needed it to get up to the one line, but Whiskey is still a solid two, and I got Arizona at number eight.
Warren?
I did drop Kansas behind Wisconsin, Arizona. So I got Gonzaga, Wisconsin, Arizona, Kansas as my two.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Arizona, then Kansas. So you dropped Kansas all the way down under Arizona based on the loss to God, I'm blanking on who that loss was.
Kansas State.
Kansas State.
The Kansas State loss, yeah. You're right, yeah.
Who not only rushed the court, but rushed the players.
Yeah. Crazy. And Kansas has now lost two out of three games. They now have six losses away from home versus only five true road wins. That's Kansas's problem. And I think in the end that they're just losing too many games. I definitely think Wisconsin is above them. David, this Arizona or Wisconsin for the number seven spot? Let me throw that over to you.
I still think it's Wisconsin.
I'm sorry. Arizona or Kansas for the seventh spot?
I had Kansas up there simply because, you know, they've won. Their road wins have been more impressive than Whiskey's. They won at Baylor. They won at Georgetown. They won at Texas, which isn't too great, but Texas is still somewhat formidable at home. Whereas Whiskey, I think their best road win was it even against a tournament team?
No, I'm talking about Arizona, not Whiskey.
Oh, Arizona. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And Arizona's Arizona has those three bad losses, but
yeah. Well, one of them isn't. I mean, Oregon State hasn't lost at home at all. But I mean, same point. You know, they won at Oregon. I just think that Kansas has done more on the road. And that's kind of the first thing that jumps out at me.
Yeah, and I really like Kansas. I just noticed that they haven't even played a team above an RPI of 200, I think.
Yeah.
So everything they played is top 200 teams.
Yeah. And again, like the number one strength of schedule, the number two RPI, those are just categorical things, but if you're looking at it categorically, Kansas is really strong.
Yeah. I think that there is...
Okay, probably for Kansas to seven is fine. They got a very good resume at the top. With all those top 25 wins.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the first time that I've ever actually... in quite some time that I've considered dropping Kansas below Arizona, but I think you both agreed, and I do agree as well, that Kansas is seven, Arizona is eight. At the moment. So that brings us to the three line. Let me turn back to you this time, Warren. Who are the next four teams you have up on your seed list?
Okay. Maryland, Oklahoma, Baylor, Northern Iowa.
Yeah. What a great win that was for Baylor last night, winning at Iowa State.
Huge. Yeah, and when you look at Baylor's profile, this is a team that I've always liked, but it changed the complexion of it in such a big way. They have 6 true road wins. They've won at Iowa State, at West Virginia. I mean, those are 2 monster road wins. You know, 9-6 overall. It's kind of like last year when this Baylor team was just really playing well down the stretch. I had them up here on the 3 line as well. The other teams I had, I also had Northern Iowa right at the number 12 spot. I have Notre Dame up here. I go back and forth on the Irish a lot. The Irish had a horrible out-of-conference schedule. Committees routinely punish teams that do that. But when you look at what they've done when they have played good teams, they've been getting it done, minus the game at Duke. So I have them up here. And then the other team, I still have Iowa State up here.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that, Warren. You took this Iowa State team off the 3 line. Is that just based on the home loss to Baylor, or do you think that their profile is just worse than those other teams?
Well, they have a good profile. I wanted to move them behind Baylor because Baylor swept them. And I've had them ahead of Northern Iowa. But I just got that feeling the record is going to put Northern Iowa up there, and so they just sort of were a victim of moving Northern Iowa up into the 3, because it just kind of felt like that's where they're going to put them right now.
And what are your thoughts about the Notre Dame team also that David mentioned? That's another team we're debating on this line.
Yeah, and I have Notre Dame much lower. I think I kind of had them lower last time we talked too. I like Notre Dame. I mean, I like how they play. It's just, I don't know. They're just kind of, I don't have the right word for it. They're not slumping, but they're having a little rough patch here.
Yeah, Chet, I knew you said that this wasn't going to be debated in the room, but they are lacking the number of top 300 wins.
that is a way that I agree with you. That in that sense, Notre Dame will be debated. And David, I'm going to tell you right now that I do not believe Notre Dame belongs on the 3 line. So the question here is,
they won at North Carolina, went 1 at NC State, beat Duke. I mean,
right. And I remember last time I brought up they have a non-conference strength of schedule 327.
Well, I mean, I have it at 326. I mean, I don't want. I mean, let's try and be. We don't want to oversell them here.
I'm sorry, I punished them for that.
Yeah.
That data there. But.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe that win by Liberty today kind of helped them out a bit. But.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, Liberty won today.
David, Maryland and Oklahoma are the other two teams that Warren mentioned.
Yeah. And we're really close. I had Oklahoma, Maryland at 13-14, which would have made them the best, the top 2 on the 4 line. So not that far apart. I'm really just, I know Oklahoma's a little more all over the place. Overall, I'm just a little bit more impressed with them than Maryland. Maryland did have a really good win, but it was at home. I think Maryland's certainly a protected seed. I just don't know if I'd have them all the way up on the 3.
Warren, how about those comments about Maryland and Oklahoma? I this is a tough debate for me. I think one of those two teams gets on this 3 line. I'm just kind of not certain which one it is at this point still.
Yeah, whenever I look at Oklahoma, I know they have a lot of losses. I mean, but their wins, I mean, just lots. Let's see, 4 top 25 and...
Yeah, they won at
more top 50. I mean, I just like the top of it. It's very strong against the other teams right next to them.
Yeah.
In the end, I think you just decided the debate for me by mentioning the number of losses that Oklahoma has. So for that reason, I'm going to give the 12 spot here to Maryland, making our 3 line Baylor, yeah. Iowa State. I agree to put Baylor above Iowa State now. Then Northern Iowa and Maryland. Northern Iowa, kind of, I think they're number 12 for both of you, but given that you both agreed on them, they end up bouncing up a bit here.
Jay, it's great to see how just Chad just arbitrarily does what he wants.
Well, that's what I'm appointed to, isn't it?
How come I'm never appointed to do what I want?
Well, David, I think you end up doing what you want most of the time anyhow. Isn't that true? And isn't that why you're always needing my legal help?
No, I don't like getting thrown in jail. If I had my preference, it wouldn't be there.
Well, let's take a look at the next line here. Oklahoma and Notre Dame are two what I'll call our holdovers from the last line that we just discussed. I think they both belong here on the four line, most likely. But, David, go ahead. Tell me who you've got here.
The other two teams I would have are, like those two, Oklahoma and Notre Dame. I also have Utah and West Virginia up here. West Virginia might seem high. I actually kind of surprised myself when I was all finished and they ended up where I had them. But, I mean, again, with a lot of these Big 12 teams, one of the symptoms of being in this conference is that you play tough schedules and you just any win you get is a quality win, and they got a lot of them. You know, they have six neutral floor win. How the hell did they do that? Six games on a neutral floor? Wow. I mean, they have 11 wins away from home. They won at Okie State. I mean, their profile's really good to me. Or looks really good.
Yeah, just take a look at those neutral floor wins. They played that tournament down in San Juan. They played a game in Charleston, West Virginia against VMI, and they played another game in Charleston, West Virginia against Marshall, and a game in Madison Square Garden against NC State. That is six neutral court games. They won them all.
Yeah.
I mean, a part of that is that those games that they're playing in West Virginia, just not at home.
Right. Uh-huh. And, I mean, that is worth pointing out.
Although one of them is against Marshall. It's an in-state rivalry.
Right,
Warren, let me turn over to you now. Besides Oklahoma and Notre Dame, who do you like here in the four line?
I've really sort of sent Arkansas up the list here. I didn't have them this high, but now they're on my four with Utah. And I've got Louisville right there. West Virginia really has a lot of momentum right now. And so, I don't remember where I had them really 2 weeks ago, but I know I've just been moving them up a lot. I don't know if they started at the seven, but now I got them as a five, so I don't have them quite as high.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard agreement actually on three teams here, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Utah, so those are going to be the top three teams that we're sticking in here. And I think the disagreement here is kind of an Arkansas versus West Virginia thing. And, David, let me address this Arkansas team over to you because that's a team that I've been looking at recently that might be right here climbing to this protected seed range.
Yeah, to give you an idea, I have them really close. I have them at 18, so and I thought I had them high. I thought I was going to come on here and tell you all that I had them at 18, and then you'd kick me off the show. So it's actually, wow, like Warren actually has them higher. But this is a great profile. I mean, they won at SMU. I think, has anyone else done that? They only have one or two home losses. Cincinnati did it. So they only have two home losses. One at Georgia, who's been kind of schizophrenic, but Georgia has been solid at home this year. That's a really good win. One at Ole Miss. They've been solid at home this year ever since, well, not counting the first game of the year. So they got three really good wins. They've really been playing well lately. I like this Arkansas team. I don't know if I like them as much as West Virginia, but I thought that they were you all were going to have them in the 7-8 range, and then here I come with them on the 5. So I was ready to argue for them. You kind of threw me for a loop when you asked me to argue against them.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at the Arkansas team. I'm looking at them right now, and you've got the same amount of – actually one less loss than West Virginia has, although – their losses are a little bit worse at Clemson, at Tennessee, and at Florida. But they've got more top 50 wins. They've got more road wins against the top 50. It really is a nice profile. And the thing that may be the deciding factor.
I have some sort of mental stigma with Arkansas that they just don't feel like they should be this high. But maybe they should. Their profile might actually be better than West Virginia's. Yeah, why is that?
the only bad thing I see on it is the well, really, I don't see anything that bad with it because all their losses are top 100.
Right.
And at Clemson, at Tennessee, at Florida, those are not tournament teams, but those are quality
formidable teams.
Teams
at home, yeah.
Formidable teams. Even Clemson this year is formidable, believe it or not. So.
Yeah, and again, they're 6-4 on the road. The six road wins, if you've been following Arkansas, I think that's more combined road wins than the last 73 years that this team's had. Well, okay, ever since, I mean, for the last 4 or 5 years, in all seriousness, this has been one of the worst road teams. But this year, they're good on the road. So, well, I mean, I like this. I think I've been talked into liking Arkansas more. I think Kentucky's going to crush them over the weekend, but this is a good Arkansas team.
Well, on that note, Arkansas does end up as our final team on the 4-line. And we move over to the 5-line here. I think we're back to Warren's turn to start us off. I know West Virginia is the team that we just discussed. I think they got to be on the top of the 5-line. But and I know, Warren, you did previously mention Louisville as well, but give me a couple other teams here, too.
Okay, well, and I had Notre Dame here, but, okay, we've already got.
Right.
So North Carolina, Wichita State.
All right, so you would have Louisville, North Carolina, and Wichita State as the rest of your 5-line, given what we've put in already. David, where are you on the 5-line?
I still got Butler up here. I think if they get the guy's name, if we were professionals here, I'd be
Kravitz.
Able to remember the kid. Yeah, Kravitz, thank you. I think when they get him back, the committee will take into account when he was gone, not just for Butler's sake, but for, again, the bracketing sake. You don't want a 4-seed caliber team with a 6-seed, because it's not fair to the 3-seed. So you kind of have to take that into consideration. Arkansas, we already put in. I had Okie State up here, and I had North Carolina up here as well. So I think we agree on North Carolina, who I have not been overly impressed with, but I guess I've been less unimpressed than the teams below them. You mentioned Louisville. I mean, maybe I'm overreacting to them not having Chris Jones, but they have not looked good without him. And really, their profile isn't that spectacular with him.
Yeah, and I will say, as far as rising and falling, I mean, Louisville and North Carolina are kind of my falling teams, and Butler, I've really moved up. I got him as my first 6.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, I mean, sort of that, I mean, a lot of the movement sort of through the season is that, momentum, right? So, and Butler's moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
I'm kind of inclined to, as arbiter here, agree with David about this Butler team. That I think you give them a little, you don't take away as much of them from them because the Kravitz will be back, as opposed to Louisville, you've got to take away from them because Chris Jones will not be back, and they have not looked good without him yet. They have time to figure it out. But let's, David, what about Wichita State here?
I had Wichita State. They're not, okay, they're number 21 on mine, so they're my highest 6-seed. Again, not very far off. I don't think they're going to win on Saturday, and maybe I'm kind of factoring that in. If they get that quality win on their profile, despite it being at home, I think it moves them up a little bit. I'm certainly not overly overwhelmed with North Carolina or Oklahoma State in particular, but I don't know. I just think that the paper for Wichita State's going to hold them back a little bit, despite being very highly ranked.
Well, let me throw the opposite argument over here. You, Warren, David mentioned this Oklahoma State team as a potential 5-seed. I kind of thought that's a bit high for them, but you know, where do you have them?
Of course
them?
You do. Of course Chad thinks that.
I'm already siding with you, Warren. So. Yeah,
I mean, right, like, I have them down as a 7. So they're at 3rd-7.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, David, let me throw Okie State back to you. So sell me on why they belong this high, the way they've been playing lately.
Well, lately I can't. It's just that old phrase that I hate, the entire body of work. They won at Baylor. They won at Tulsa. Tulsa doesn't have that many home losses. They won at Texas, who, well, that's becoming a pastime. And again, they've, for the most part, avoided bad losses other than, I mean, how bad is South Carolina and TCU when they've won at home? So They do have an abundance of losses. 7-8 in the conference. It's really hard to get them up this high. That was the one thing that really had me holding my nose. But, I mean, I just liked the wins at Baylor and Texas and Tulsa a lot.
Yeah, I mean, just looking back their last 12 games, they are 5-7 in them. And I know that's not a factor, David, but, you know, they've lost three straight heading into their game coming up this weekend. I think that this team is just not playing well right now. I think they're going to stay in the field, assuming they can beat Texas Tech and TCU coming up over the next two games. But I think this is a team that's moving in a bad direction a lot quicker than Louisville and North Carolina is, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think one of my factors was they have 10 losses already, and I don't think they're done. And so if they start getting 11-12, they're not going to really – it's going to be hard to keep a seed that high.
Yeah.
All right. So what we end up going with here on the five line is Butler and Wichita State. Louisville and Okie State are the only two teams that we've discussed so far that we have not yet put in. So let's turn David, I guess it's your turn now. I know you do like Okie State here already for the six line. Who are the other three teams you would have here?
Three? Why can't I find... Well, Louisville, we mentioned them. Okay. Yeah, I had them on this line. SMU and VCU. SMU's paper is not impressive, and perhaps VCU's isn't either. The one thing, I had VCU down around the 10 and 11. I think that they've shown that they've kind of adapted to the injury. I realize they're coming off a loss to a non-tournament team, but despite that, I still think they're in this 6-7 range. SMU, it's hard to point to very much, especially now with them. Joe Lenardi's on TV during the SMU-Memphis game. They're tied at Memphis. Memphis is atrocious. But I just think overall that this is a really good SMU team. I hate to use the term eye test, but I think SMU and VCU are really good on the court.
And that's a good point. I just wanted to mention right now it's about 10:40 p.m. Eastern time as we are doing this, so SMU is in a tight game. Since they're the team we're discussing now, we're not going to consider this game yet, although by the time we're done here, we may have to go back and amend things if they do fall here.
Yeah.
Same thing with Gonzaga is going to be playing later on tonight, and that could change things as well if they lose that game.
Yeah, and this isn't a bad loss per se, but it is the kind of game that you would expect a six seed to be able to win on the road in Memphis.
Right, because Memphis is 79 in the RPI. Yeah. It's not great.
Right.
It should be a team to beat.
Well, Warren, I know you have Louisville above your sixth line, actually, but who are the other three teams that you would have at this stage of the game?
So I have SMU and VCU, and my last six I put San Diego State.
All right,
David, talk about San Diego. Yeah, I was going to say, talk about San Diego State. I had them a lot lower. I'm looking at them again. That's just high. Again, I mean, there's just not much that jumps out here. Their best win away from home was against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's sort of skating around the bubble. After than that, it's BYU, who I think is outside the bubble. They did win at Wyoming, who's not a tournament team, but it is hard to win up there, albeit Fresno State just did it the other night. I'm just not seeing much here about San Diego State. I realize that I just put two other teams up there without much either, but I don't know. I'm not as sold on this San Diego State team. To be honest, I had them down on the 7.
Yeah, and really, I'm not sold on them either. They're in a position that it's really easy to argue them out. For me.
Oh, this is the my math skills are going. I don't know why I can't seem to like.
Yeah, we're discussing the last spot. Let's discuss the very last spot of the sixth slide right now.
Yeah, I had San Diego State at 26, so I was thinking I was a line off. I'm like, oh, I thought we were still on the 5 for some reason.
I just want to throw out a team to both of you that neither of you mentioned that I think.
This is going to be a ridiculous team. I can't wait to hear it, Chad. What's team?
Of course, I'm talking about Florida A&M. No.
yeah.
I'm talking about Providence. Neither one of you mentioned them for here, and I would almost, if I was doing this, and I'm only the arbiter here, so they're not a choice for me, but I just wanted to find out what you two thought of them at this point.
Number 25, they're my highest 7 seed, so very close.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. I got them right next to San Diego State, and, you know, like I said before, the top of Providence's resume is better than San Diego State's easily.
Yeah, this might be a case, and I realize, like, you know, we've talked about this one way where a team is way better on the court than what their paper indicates, or so we suspect. Is Providence's paper better than they actually are on the court? They just looked awful. Again, that was not a bad loss on paper, but my God, Villanova just ran over them. And it's not the first time they've been blown out of the place. I'm just looking at this, and it seems like most of their big wins were really, really close games, and a lot of their losses were not close.
Yeah, you, I mean, you've probably seen them more than I have.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have them in the same spot, so, I mean, that, but honestly, Chad, like, since you asked, I think their paper is better than teams that I have on the sixth. It's almost what I say in reverse. I just don't think their team is, which is why I have them at number 25.
Well, given that you both have them at 25, and there's both of you have your each other's teams, San Diego State and Oklahoma State, lower than that, I think the as a mediator or arbiter of this whole thing, I think Providence ends up being the right pick for the last sixth spot, with San Diego State going at the top of the seven line. I think Okie State is going to fall somewhere here in the seven line, although I want to find out from both of you who your other picks are here before we figure that out for certain. So let me turn back to Warren. Who is your seven line?
Okay, the other ones...
And Chad, just keep doing whatever you like. I mean,
sure.
Sure thing.
Yeah, maybe now I put Okie State above Providence. Huh?
Yeah. I'm not even putting Providence in the field next week. Just because of Chad.
You told me I could do it if I want, so I just put the curtain of distraction in on the seven line as well.
Okay, great.
not Arizona State. But
yeah,
just
their fans. Oh. Okay, sorry.
All right, so I'm sorry, Warren. Who did you have here? Let's get back on track.
I feel better. Did we lose Warren?
Yeah, Warren, you're seven. Who do you have in your seven line?
Warren, are you there?
I think we're having a little technical issues here while we try to get Warren back. Dave, why don't you toss us your seven line while we get Warren back?
Okay, on the seven, and again, I had San Diego State, who we've already put in, Providence, who we already put in, Georgetown and Ole Miss for my other two teams.
Oh, so you'd have Okie State, Georgetown,
okay,
and Ole Miss
here. We have activity here. Warren!
I don't know what happened.
All right, well, he's back.
We got him back. All right. Warren, we were asking about the seven line. While you were getting reconnected here, David told us he thinks it should be San Diego State, Oklahoma State, Georgetown, and Ole Miss.
All right. Let me try to catch up. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it, Warren. No one's watching anyway. It's a low budget show.
Other than John, who's supposed to be on with us, but that's another story.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping he's all right. He normally
is.
Yeah. All right. Well, done. So give me those again.
Go
ahead.
San Diego State, Georgetown, and Ole Miss, in addition to Okie State. That would be my... Because I had Okie State up a lot further. But that would be my seven line.
Okay. I've got Ole Miss right there is my first eight.
Okay. Okay.
And who else do you have on your seven?
Mounting his phone. Are you on an iPad or an iPhone?
I got an iPhone and since I'm on the road, I sort of created this thing and...
Right. Right, well, we're getting a little technical difficulties here.
Well, there's the ceiling fan. Let's take a look at this. All right, let's just
look around. We're going to focus it on here, yes.
We've got the ceiling fan right on television right now. All right,
that was good TV, yeah. We maybe you just go to like down to the hotel lobby for us, Warren, and start interviewing some people.
Yeah, Warren, start go, call the front desk and ask them who's on their 7 line.
And I want to see the room service guy show up before we're done too.
Well, I guess we haven't mentioned it, but I've already been through a blackout and
I've got a blackout from the
hotel manager, so I'm good.
Okay.
I just can't get my phone to stick anywhere.
All right. But anyway, Chip, where did you have San Diego State? Or you didn't do one, but what do you think of them?
I like San Diego State right here. In the 7-8 line range. I don't even not be as high of them as both of you are, but San Diego State I think is in this range. I do agree that Oklahoma State is in this area as well. We lost Warren again. This is awesome. I like this.
Let's see. Oh my gosh.
All right, what do we got?
Okay.
There we go. Welcome back, Warren.
Yeah.
What were we discussing again?
I don't know. Where do you have season? Like Georgetown is a team I kind of struggled with. I couldn't really figure out what to do with them. I had them right around here, but it seems kind of high. Maybe I just get them on bad nights.
Right now, I've got Georgetown on the 7.
Okay.
They're sort of a falling star there.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of right around the 7-8 area, it was really kind of. Did you get that feeling too?
Oh yeah, like right. There seemed to be a drastic drop off right after this line for me.
I think there's a drop off probably right there in the middle of the 6, beginning of the 7 line that kind of doesn't end until you get past the first 4, and that's what we're kind of dealing with here. But all right, Warren, who else do you have in the 7 line besides San Diego State, Georgetown?
This has been the best debate of the 7 line ever.
Well, these are always good games. 7-10 games are some of your best games of the tournament, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So I had, like we talked about before, so I had Providence, Georgetown, Oklahoma State, and I hate to say Indiana was – it's not the right spot for them.
Right. Where did you have Ole Miss?
The first 8.
The first 8, because I had them as my last 7. Like, I had them right at number 28. And part of it is, I know that they're coming off of a loss, but prior to that, I think they'd won 7 or 8 in a row. None of them were great wins, but they had a lot of decent wins. And I don't know. I guess I just don't hold my nose as much with them as I do with an Indiana or, looking down at the 8 and 9 line, it's just, oh, my God.
Right. And, I just took that Indiana team, and I knew they need to slide down. And I just – every team I tried to bump them past, I just couldn't I was looking for a great team to move above them is what I guess
right.
I would say. And it's hard to find one right here.
Just by way of a quick score update, SMU is starting to pull away from Memphis here with about 4 minutes left, so looks like we're not going to have to adjust them in the seed list here. As far as this debate here, Ole Miss or Indiana, Indiana lost at Northwestern, and I have a lot of trouble getting over that. I'm going to side with David and go with this Ole Miss game. I know, but Northwestern lost at home to North Florida. No, sorry, that's Purdue that lost North Florida. Northwestern lost home to some garbage teams, though.
Yes.
I'm for Ole Miss.
All right. Okay. We're all for Ole Miss. Now, I think Indiana's probably belongs here on the 8 line.
I have
on
the 8.
David, it's your, David, who else do you have on the 8 line?
I don't want to say.
Is it Big Ten?
Yeah, I have Iowa, LSU, and the Johnnies on the 8 line.
Last week also, and you had St. John's rated pretty high, and I know, Warren, you had them a lot lower last week. But, Warren, let me turn to you on these on your eight line besides Indiana.
Okay.
Okay, so I have Temple, Ohio State, Iowa.
Temple, Ohio State, and Iowa. So you both agree on Indiana.
Yeah.
And you both agree on Iowa. And it's Temple, Ohio State, LSU, and St. John's.
Okay.
How's Temple doing? Are they playing right now?
Temple won against Houston tonight. Win at home tonight. knocking out a team that took down the defending national champs. Okay, here's what stinks about the Johnnies. They're 3-5 in true road games, which isn't that good, but they won at Xavier, who is kind of bubbly, but Xavier only has two losses at home, and they won at Providence. And I just can't see anybody else. When I start looking at other teams on the 8 and 9 line, I don't see two wins like that from anyone.
David, address Temple and Ohio State. Yeah, that's the other team's Ohio State that he.
Okay.
Ohio
State, yes. Well, Ohio State hasn't won many road games, but to their credit, they've played several. Ohio State, again, the one thing is, I mean, they have two top 50 wins, both at home. Now, Maryland and Indiana are pretty good, but I just can't get past that. The one thing about Ohio State, I can't get past that their best true road win is Minnesota. I don't know. When I look at what teams have done away from home, I just don't have Ohio State up on the 8. LSU is... I'm not crazy really about them either, but I guess the road win at West Virginia just keeps jumping out at me.
Well, yeah. Warren, let me turn to you on those LSU and the St. John's picks that David made.
They won at West Virginia. They won at Ole Miss. You know, Okay, it's Warren. Sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have LSU as my first 9. So I'm right there with LSU.
How about the Johnnies?
I had them, last time I had them a lot lower. I had them as an 11, but, you know, it's been a good week. So I have them as my last 9.
I think for me personally, I think
Yes, and that's all that matters, Chad. What do you...
Because it is all that matters. And this is the ultimate thing. And we know actually the selection committee is watching this. And
yes.
Be going by what I tell them to go by right now. I agree that LSU is here, and for me the debate is between I'm not convinced that Temple belongs in this line. Sorry, Warren. I think it's either Ohio State or St. John's. That is that's the dividing line here. And I don't like either one of them.
Fortunately, 8 and 9 is practically the same seed.
And you know, the way I gotta, you know, Temple, it's just a team that's hard to defend. I mean, so I put them there and I could easily, and then they get beat up from there, and that's fine because they don't have much of support really.
Right. I had Temple down on the 10. I mean, they have the nice home win against Kansas. They got a lot of stuff that's all right. It's just nothing. There's more that jumps out at me from the other teams that we're discussing than them right now. I definitely think they're inside the bubble and even inside the first 4, but I don't have them this high.
Well, since we've got to make a decision and move on here, David, you're winning this battle.
The Johnnies. All right.
And then we're going to go ahead and put Ohio State right here on the top of the 9 line. And Warren, let me turn to you here. I know you like Temple also here, but give me the next 2 teams you have as well.
Yeah, let's see. Did you have Iowa yet?
Yeah, we got Iowa in on the 8 line there.
Okay, I see it now. The phone's a little small, but okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. So now I have Cincinnati and Dayton, I think, are the ones we haven't mentioned yet.
The Ohio schools. So we can go with it. We could go with an almost all Ohio 9 line. David, I think you've got to agree with that just on principle's sake, right?
Okay, I have Xavier. I have Dayton a little lower. We'll talk about them in a second. I actually have Dayton down a couple more lines. I have Xavier up here ahead of Cincinnati. I know that they just lost at St. John's, but they picked up two big wins, like the road win at Cincinnati and then the home win over Butler, where they just beat them really badly. This is where I have Ohio State, and I have Cincinnati. So, yeah, I have three of the four, but Georgia is the other team I have up this high. I thought their win at Ole Miss was really good. They've got another win at Texas A&M. They're kind of schizophrenic. They've got some really bad losses, Auburn at home in particular, but overall, I just like how they're playing.
Warren, what about Georgia, those two teams?
Well, Georgia has really climbed up for me, too. I mean, they're like St. John's. I mean, I had Georgia at 12, and now I have them as the second 10. I mean, so that's a very big jump. I mean, I probably could move them more. You know, sometimes you move them so far and you go, what am I doing, right?
Yeah.
But they've had a good week.
Right.
And what about this Xavier team?
I've got Xavier as my first 10. Maybe I dropped them too much.
Yeah,
they're probably better. I mean, they're better than Dayton. It's probably a mistake. Put Xavier above Dayton.
Let me throw something out there. Xavier, Cincinnati, who's the better team?
I go with Cincinnati.
Aside, they got the two really good wins at SMU. NC State's a really good – it's close. Xavier did beat them. I realize that it's the whole body of work and not just one game, but I really have Xavier and Cincinnati right next to each other. And for me, what tipped it was that Xavier won at Cincinnati. I guess all things being equal, that would be the tiebreaker, but maybe all things aren't equal.
I usually do that. I mean, head-to-head, you know, Xavier won, and like I said, maybe I just dropped them too much this week on the loss.
Yeah.
So you would have them over Cincinnati then, Warren?
I have no problem with that, really.
Okay. And then we're going to put Xavier 34, Cincinnati 35, and I think there was kind of a agreement here on Georgia being the last 9 seed, meaning that we're going to carry Temple and Dayton down to the 10 line at least.
Call it out, but we're pretty far apart on Dayton.
Yeah, let's have a little discussion about them here before we go any further. And David, why do you think Warren's so high on Dayton? Warren's too high on Dayton?
They haven't really done much of anything. They're not nearly as Texas A&M as Texas A&M is, but I mean the neutral floor over Texas A&M by 2 points. How coincidental is that? And then they have the whole win against Ole Miss. And then other than that, it's just them holding serve against non-tournament caliber teams, with the exception of the loss at Duquesne. I mean, I'm impressed with what they've done with their limited personnel. I say that every week. I just don't see them. It seems like the majority of the time when they play a tournament caliber team, they don't beat them. They didn't beat Arkansas, didn't beat Davidson. UMass on the road, not a tournament team, but probably tournament caliber at home, didn't beat Connecticut, didn't win at George Washington. They're holding serve against the NIT caliber teams that they're playing, and that's really the best thing you can say about them. And I have them lower than this. They're in my first four, to be honest.
Warren?
Well, yeah, that's making some good points there. They're you know, when you balance their record with their strength of schedule, I mean, what you're saying is apparent. I mean, they got about 128 strength of schedule overall. So it's maybe I'm giving them too much credit on the record. I mean, I don't know if I put him that far down.
Yeah.
A 10. This is sort of where, you know, this is my favorite part.
Yeah.
On the deep list, because everybody starts getting that word squishy. Where it's
yeah.
Just, man, which you could accentuate the bads and you could, you know, ignore some of the good and you could move these teams lots of different places.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really, that's a philosophy. That's not really an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But, David, let's get four teams out here. Warren has mentioned Temple and Dayton that we have not put in yet, but who would your four teams be for the 10 line?
Temple, I had them at number 40, so this is about where I'd have them. I also had Miami, Florida, all the way up here. And I mean, they fit Warren's definition of squishy more than any team ever has since 1939 when the tournament started. Michigan State, who I actually had a lot higher prior to the loss tonight, in Colorado State, that's my 10.
All right, Warren, let me toss it back over to you. Besides Temple and Dayton, I think we've now agreed that at least Temple belongs on this line. Give me the next two teams.
Okay, I had Colorado State and Michigan State.
Oh, man.
So you do agree on both those teams then?
Yeah.
All right, that we have an agreement then that the 10 line is going to be Temple, Michigan State, Colorado State for the first three spots. I'm going to, I guess, make a choice here and go with Michigan State slightly higher.
Of course you will, Chad. Of course. Like, you'll just put them wherever you want.
I just agreed with you on that one, David.
I know.
Then that leaves us with this Miami and Dayton are the two teams that have been thrown out here for this last spot.
Miami's good is a lot better, and their worse is a lot worse.
Well, Warren, what do you think about Miami?
I had Miami in. Miami's been kind of going in and out of my last four. Like you said, they're up and they're down, and just at the moment. I have them out.
You don't
have the field entirely. All right. Well, that doesn't make us. That doesn't give us a much room to debate here, does it?
Let's see. Well, yeah, they lost. God, look at. I mean, they lost it. They lost. Oh God, some of this is atrocious. But you know, they only lost to Eastern Kentucky by 20. I mean, it was about 9 or 10 possessions.
Well, let me do this. Before we put this last 10 seed in, we will have three more at-large teams coming in the 11 line before we get to the first four. Let me get your next three teams from both of you, or next four teams from both. I guess it'll be the next three teams from both of you, so we kind of can debate out who avoids the first four entirety here. So let me start with you, Warren. Besides Dayton, who would your other three teams that avoid the first four be?
Okay, well, my next one, and this is another team I kind of have on the rise, and maybe sometimes when I say they're on the rise, it might be because these other teams are falling. So, North Carolina State.
I like the pick. Go ahead.
I do, too. I like them a lot. Well, I mean, I think it's a good pick. I'm not particularly a fan, but, yeah.
And then, yeah, these next two, I get that feeling I might have them too high, but Illinois and Oregon.
Okay. David, besides Miami, who would your next three be? And again, these would be your last three before the first four.
Yeah, NC State, Texas, and Davidson.
You know, it's kind of funny. We're almost at the first four, and this is the first time anyone's mentioned Texas, and I think that's deservedly so.
Yeah.
That was one of the droppers, you know. They're...
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of quality losses, as Joe Lenardi would say.
Well, based on what you both have just said, I'm going to give NC State that last 10 seed line because that's the only team you two agree on out of the next four teams.
Is this the third or fourth team that we have agreed on that you've moved up, Chad?
I had to move up because of the next four teams are the only two. Now, what we have out here is we have six teams for these next three spots. Dayton, Illinois, Oregon, Miami, Texas, and Davidson.
Illinois and Oregon were my first two out. If we're really going down, I have Pittsburgh, Tulsa, Purdue. I have Purdue in the field.
Yeah, I have Purdue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's complete it. Let's do the whole entire bubble here then. David, your first four would have been Pitt, Tulsa. What else?
Okay. Pitt, Tulsa, the last two in, and then Dayton and Purdue are the next two.
Pitt, Tulsa.
Yeah, are the last two at larges, and then the next two are Dayton and Purdue.
Dayton and Purdue. Okay, Warren, who would your first four teams be?
We need three more at larges? Or?
Yeah, I just haven't put them in the field yet because we've got a bunch of holdovers here.
Okay.
Okay. Purdue, Texas, and then Davidson, Tulsa.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, from what I've heard from both of you now,
we're real close on.
You're close on the first four, but you're really far apart of the teams above the first four. But these are the teams that you both agree need to be in the field. They are Dayton, Pitt, Tulsa, Davidson, and Purdue.
Dayton, Pitt, Tulsa, Davidson. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Warren did not have Pitt in.
I don't have Pitt.
Let's see. Pitt was my last team in. Oregon, honestly, I originally had Oregon in, I'll be honest, but I switched them, and I forget why. I just think that I liked the top of Pitt's profile a little more. Oregon only has two true road wins. I think Pitt, where are they? This is really... They're both pretty bad. Wait, let's just go back to 64 teams. That's better.
Well, these are the teams that you both have agreed on. Dayton, which I just put in at 41. Purdue, I put in at 42. Texas, I put in at 43. Davidson versus Tulsa, I put in as our first of our first four games.
So we need two more?
We need two more teams. The teams that have been mentioned here are Miami, Pitt, Illinois, and Oregon.
I think with the top of Miami's profile, you would almost have to have them in. And, again, Pitt and Oregon both only have two true road wins, where I think Miami has five. I just think there's way more going for Miami right now among that group. I actually had them inside the first four.
And I've had them in. I like Miami. I mean, every time you point out how up and down they are, and I haven't seen a lot of Pitt, but they're sort of the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, what are they going to do now? So yeah. I could easily put them both in. It just, it's like, what's going to happen next week? Or what's going to happen this weekend?
Right. And then Miami goes on the road, leads Louisville the entire game, loses it because, it's a tremendous effort, and then they come home and almost blow it against a really weak Florida State team. They're all over the place, but the tipping point for me is that their good is so much better than anyone else's good in this discussion, Miami.
David, can you address Illinois and Oregon, who would be Warren's two teams? I know he had them higher than the first four, but those would be his two teams that he would have instead of Miami and Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I had them both really close. I liked Illinois a lot until their last game. But again, Oregon was my first team out, and then Illinois was the next in line. So, they're close to the field. The hang-up I have on both of them, really, is Illinois is just 2-7 on the road. They do have the three neutral floor wins. The neutral win against Baylor is really good. The win at Michigan State's really good.
Home over Maryland.
Yeah. But then again, when you look at Oregon, they've just been such a horrible road team. I mean, I know that they have three wins, but, one of them was Wazoo. Another one was USC. Does USC even count as a road win? Because there's no fans there.
The team that I've convinced needs one of these spots is Illinois. the team, I'm still at a loss here. I guess I need one of you to convince me why Miami, Pitt, or Oregon should be the other team.
And looking at it again, I actually like Illinois. I think that's a good pick, even though you're just doing what you want to again.
As always, of course.
Well, I mean, one of the problems you run into, Chad, is that it's the 60-18 tournament. You are aware of this, right?
I think so.
I mean, you have to take somebody.
We have to take somebody. And let's take another look at Miami here, because this is the team that I guess I would have to be leaning this way right now. But it's just so hard with this profile, because, I mean, winning at Duke is better than what anybody else did. But after that, they have a home court win over NC State and not much else, don't they?
Well,
other than beating Illinois.
Yeah, they beat Illinois. They won at Syracuse. That's going to count for something. Syracuse has a fairly decent home record. I don't know what Florida's record is at home, but they won there. In fact, that's probably... there's not much here, but like whoever we take is going to have a lot of warts, and I guess like the tipping point for me is Miami certainly has them, but look at the good things they've done. You know, at Duke, at home against Illinois, at Syracuse, and at Florida. Is there another team that's done that much?
Warren, let me throw it back to you one more time here, just for the last spot. Can you sell me on Oregon over Miami?
Oh, that, you know, they should be doing that in high school debate clubs all over.
Yeah.
Because that would be a tough one. can I take, Valpo?
Yeah.
Of these that...
Well, Warren, did you have Pittsburgh in the field?
No, I had them out.
Okay, you had them out. All right, never mind. They were my last.
Yeah. In the end, I think that Pitt is the team that I'm not going to go with here. I'm right. Leaning towards Miami right now.
If I were to redo mine, I would have Pitt out and Illinois in.
All right. So let's go with – we're going to do it. We're going to make the final decision here. Miami is in. Oregon is our first team out. Pitt's our second team out. Before we go to the automatic bids, anybody else we want to discuss that just missed the field?
What about Boise?
I had Boise within my first four. It would have been Pitt, Oregon, Boise, and Texas A&M would have been my next four in line. Last four out is a procedural thing. I know that that's confusing to people because it's like, well, how are they the last ones out? How are they not the first ones out? Well, the first team out is Florida A&M. That's the first team you kick out. So, like, just explaining that to people that might be confused by what is meant by last four out. So,
I don't know, David. I think you kick Grambling out before you kick out Florida A&M.
Well, we're going to spend 3 hours debating whether it's Grambling.
Warren, anybody else that you looked at as your first or last teams out, however you want to talk, however you want to discuss it?
Next in line.
Next in line.
Yeah, so I had Texas A&M out right there in the first four out.
Right.
And the Boise State and Stanford.
Stanford was my fifth team out.
I think Stanford is still close enough to that they can make a strike at it too. I agree with you that they belong in this list here of teams that we just missed out on.
Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it. Who's within striking distance, and instead of putting ones that are falling out and just don't have a chance anymore, just let them fall.
Right. The only other team that I think personally that we didn't mention yet is UCLA.
Oh, UCLA! I thought you were going to say another lettered team, BYU.
No, BYU is struggling with Portland right now. So,
thank God.
It causes anyone else we didn't mention though.
Crash.
Do we want to talk about Rhode Island a little bit here?
Yeah, they're way up there in the standings. I know Joby likes them. I don't really know why, but. I would like to point out that we are not discussing Wyoming. It's too bad John isn't here.
One other team that I think is worth a very quick mention.
Okay, what do you like about Rhode Island? I mean, 6-3 nothing. On the road. Oh, okay, never mind.
I just thought that because they are tied for the lead in the A-10 that they might get some mention here.
Well, if they win the A-10, they'll get something. But
does Minnesota get any discussion after beating Michigan State tonight?
Why did they have to do that? They were happily riding off into the suns. I don't think Minnesota tonight was a really good win against a Michigan State team that had been playing really well, and the edge-old debate, it'll never be satisfied. Should you play defense when you're up three, or should you foul? Michigan State, in an attempt that I could only say to be precautionary, decided to do both, and man, did that not work tonight. I don't think Minnesota, I mean, of course, if they win their next two games and then avoid a loss in the quarters, they'll certainly be on the bubble, maybe even inside of it.
Well, their next game is next Thursday. They host Wisconsin.
I don't think they're going to win that. I don't think they're good enough to do what they have to do to end up on the right side of the bubble.
I think if they win that Wisconsin game, beat Penn State to end the season, that puts, you know, that gives them that huge win at the top of the profile.
Yeah,
as good as, well, it's a home win, but otherwise it would be very close to what Miami has at the top there.
Right. This was a really good, because they were 2-8. The opportunities are there for many, but I just don't think they have the ability to cash in on it, despite the big win tonight.
All right, Warren. Anyone else that you even took any look at all, or I think have we covered them all?
I think we've covered them all, and I guess I wasn't kidding so much when I was saying these, sort of these conference leaders in the Southern and Ivy Horizon is, some of these ones we're talking about, I'm almost wonder if they could beat those teams.
I think.
am I crazy there?
No, not at all. We had this discussion last night. I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of wanted to get your take on it. That's what I was going to do next. I don't know if Wofford, I think, is one of the better teams. I don't know if they'll have the paper to get all the way up inside the bubble, but I do think that they would beat a lot of the teams in the first four head-to-head if they were to play them. What do you think of – I'll throw three teams at you, Warren, and tell me what you think of Wofford, Murray State, and Iona. Could you make a case, and maybe Valpo too? I'm not as big on Valpo as I am those other three, but are those bubble teams? Shouldn't we be talking about them as at larges?
I like Wofford's resume. I mean, not of course for the top, but as a bubble team, one of the problems for me is I don't really see them. I don't see them play, so I don't know that much about them. But at this point, these teams like we talk, Texas A&M and Miami, I wouldn't know what to do if they played each other. I might lean towards Wofford.
I would.
I think
Wofford has the paper, but I would. I think Wofford would school Texas A&M.
I'll put it out there right now. If Wofford wins out, in other words, wins their last game here, wins the SoCon championship, I would not be shocked to see them on the 11 line.
There's one thing that, if they went out through there, they might end up on the 11 line. There's one thing killing Wofford. And it's, you just wonder what happened. But I mean, again, that is reason enough to leave them out. There is nothing on their profile that offsets.
It's a game we didn't even realize it happened. It was just like a 4 o'clock in the afternoon start, and around 8 o'clock at night, I think you look at the scoreboard and say, "Wait, what just happened this afternoon?"
I didn't even watch it because I mean, for the same reason you don't watch Indiana play Stony. I mean, it just wasn't. And that killed them. And one of the huge
loss at the Citadel.
And one of the things, like, when you play in a league like that, once you get in the conference play, the best thing you can hope for is to not stub your toes. Like, you're not going to get any impressive wins that as far as the committee's concerned. So the best you can hope for is to not blow it. So whereas other teams from the Power 9 or the multi-bid leagues, they get in there with chances to impress the committee. Wofford, if they haven't made their case in November and December, the best they can hope for is to not blow it. It's 18 chances to blow it, and that night they blew it. I mean, right. Couldn't they? God.
That's one of the historically losingest programs.
Well, yeah. I will throw this out there for the Citadel. I actually was watching tonight's Citadel game against East Tennessee State. Don't ask me why. It was actually a close game, back and forth. Citadel won it on a buzzer beater. The Citadel play-by-play announcer from the radio, whose voice was being used on the whose radio broadcast was being used on the internet stream.
Oh, that guy's crazy.
He spent the entire last 5 minutes of this game, which was a close, exciting game, one on the buzzer beater, talking about his cats. It was great.
God, we need to start doing games. But the Citadel, what a year they're having. They're the worst team ever, yet they beat the two best teams in the conference. I mean, talk about just ruining everyone's day. Right. Oh, God.
All right. I'm going to get the screen back up here again. It looks like we lost it for a second. As soon as I do, I guess we can run through the automatic bids, though, and finish out the seed list.
Right. And again, we've made reference to this. We're not going to discuss them as in-depth. We did that last night on Under the Radar. You can watch that if you want to know more about these teams. And there it is.
Okay. David, I'm going to leave this. Why don't you just run through the teams for us here?
Okay. I think you have Wofford
first, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Like, going down the list, what line are we on?
12. We're on the 12 line after.
So you need two more for the 12. Wofford, and I would still have UTEP. I know they got blasted tonight, but it was not a damaging road loss, although Tim Floyd might be going on vacation for a little while. If you didn't see that, he went after one of the referees in the middle of the game. So,
Wofford, UTEP, one more for the 12 line.
Oh, one more. Let's see, Murray State.
Okay. And what do you like of the 13 line?
Okay. Any opinions on those, Warren?
I wonder about the. I mean, Murray State is on quite a run. Like, there you go. There's the one that's not stubbing their toe.
Yeah.
And some of these are, you know, you don't. I don't get to see them. Like, maybe you guys get to see them, but I had Iona. Above.
Yeah, Iona. I had them right below Murray State.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go Iona.
Yeah. And then SFA, Valpo, and Harvard was going down the was that the 13?
That completes the 13 line. Yep.
Okay.
Let's move on to the 14 then.
Okay, I had Central Michigan, UC Davis. This one's going to be controversial. North Carolina Central, and Eastern Washington.
I actually agree with you on the North Carolina Central pick, undefeated in conference. They would have a great winning streak right now, except they stepped out of conference and lost a game at East Tennessee State.
Who lost to the Citadel? Who's the second team of the top team? Oh, boy.
They better watch out for the Citadel in Asheville at the SoCon tournament this year. That's all I'm going to say.
One of the more perplexing teams, the game was still going on when we started. Did Georgia State win tonight?
I'll give me half a second here. Georgia State tonight lost at Arkansas Little Rock.
Oh, my God. Oh, it never stops. Oh, I don't
Meanwhile, Louisiana Monroe pounded South Alabama to take over first place in that conference. Georgia Southern, played tonight as well.
Georgia Southern is doing so much with so little. And Georgia State is doing so little with so much. It's incredible. Oh, I don't know. They were my SoCon projected team. I don't even. Oh God.
Are you gonna go with Georgia Southern or Louisiana Monroe?
Georgia Southern.
Okay, so we'll go here with on the 15 line, Georgia Southern, and give me three more.
And Northeastern, Texas Southern, and Albany.
You know, Northeastern lost tonight.
I had Northeastern, William and Mary. And I'm sorry, I don't know. I've lost. Northeastern did.
How about UNC Wilmington here? Because Northeastern lost at Elon tonight. Okay. Sorry, Georgia Southern, Wilmington. Who else?
Albany.
And who else for the 15 line?
Oh, Texas Southern.
Oh, Texas Southern on the 15. Okay.
Yeah.
And the 16 line that avoids the first four.
Yeah. South Dakota State in High Point.
A few Big South leaders that won tonight. There was a huge night of upsets in the Big South. And go ahead for the first four games.
New Mexico State, North Florida, and then St. Francis, Brooklyn, and Bucknell.
Okay. You still there?
Yeah. Oh, St. Francis, Brooklyn, Bucknell.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll get those in there. I'm having a little bit of computer program problems. They did not want to show up those last two teams, but
okay,
that's who they are. If you're looking at it, pretend they're there.
All right.
Anything else? Any other teams you want to discuss here? Let me start with you, Warren, as far as these small conference teams.
Well, I know Texas Southern – you put on the 15, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
And I guess they have sort of moved up a little bit, but they weren't – I mean, I just kind of had them lower because they weren't necessarily leading the conference. I know there's some APR schools that are kind of messing it up for them, but
The SWAC is really messing it. The SWAC, to this day, is uncertain how many teams are in its conference tournament, according to the website. Or maybe they're just uncertain how many teams are in their league, period. I don't know. The one thing about Texas Southern with me is and again, it's picking and choosing. I don't watch much of the SWAC, I'll be honest. Like, I mean, I've seen them play a couple games, and they have not been impressive at all against really, really weak teams. Now, to their credit, they've won. But they've struggled way more than you thought they would after they went on a stretch where they won at Michigan State, took Auburn to the wall, and then won at Kansas State. I know Auburn and Kansas State aren't good, but by 15 and 16 seed standards, they absolutely are. But anyway, that's what's got me having them up on the 15.
All right, that's a good argument.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just look at the, you know, or I have trouble looking at the worst of their – just the very worst part of their resume, and
there is plenty down of that. Wow.
But down here, any good game is a positive.
Yeah,
that's true.
Not to be mean that or note, anything.
Yeah.
On that note, I think we do have a bracket now. So what we will do. I'll get my computer problems sorted out here, and we will, by the end of the night or tomorrow morning, have a bracket built from these 68 teams. Obviously, subject to change if something crazy happens, like Gonzaga losing tonight, but I don't think that's going to happen, although they are down 1 point right now early on. But
yeah.
Any other thoughts here tonight, David?
If you don't like our bracket, just wait a couple days. It'll change again.
And David, how important is our bracket for the committee room?
Well, I mean, our tournament survival board, that's what they use, like we said the other night. The committee looks at that, they see which teams are involved, and then they know which teams to select. So it's very important.
And you mentioned our tournament survival board. We're down to 322 teams left. We lost a few more tonight, so keep an eye on that. And I guess we'll be back again Monday with a bracket racket. Warren, thanks for coming on again as well. Everyone, make sure you check
us out, Chad. Great job.
Make sure you check out his website, warrennolan.com, our website, and have a great night, everybody.